Today's scripture reading comes from 1 Corinthians 12, 11 through 14. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit, who apportions to each of one individually as he wills. For just as the body is one and has many members, all the members of the body through many are one body. So it is with Christ. For in one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one Spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but many. You may be seated.
Good morning. It's great to see you with us. We have a good number. We have a missionary that we support from India, and the Bates also, who work with them in the States with us. And also, it's great to have Brother Pete back with us. He's been away for months and been in through surgeries and rehabilitation and numerous things, and what a blessing it is for him to be able to return. And so we have others that I can mention that we're thankful that you're with us as well visiting. And we want you to know, all our guests, that we are glad that you've come, and we hope that you'll come back at any opportunity you have to worship with us and to praise God. We men on the front row, I'm going to go ahead and let them pass out the sheets. I want everybody, should be enough for everybody to have one copy each. And then that's why these guys can get to their seats. But everybody, even the kids that can, basically kids that can write, probably, you know, second grade on up, will benefit from this. We're thinking about spiritual gifts and using our gifts for the Lord. But while they're passing this out, I wanted to mention that today is our Bible Bowl in West Kentucky, and it's going to be held in Marshall County. And we've had a good number of our own kids participating in that. And today we'll be going, and so we'll be leaving really quickly after services. I'll be pulling the bus up, and we'll be leaving because they actually wanted groups to try to worship with them up there and get started. The written test begins at 1, and so we got to get some lunch and get on up there real quickly. But I'd also like to say, you can read the front of the bulletin to see those kids and be praying for them. And appreciate our coordinators and our teachers. Ashley Hayes, Ashley Parker, and Michelle Nicewinder have worked with these kids and training them. Last night, they were up here using our building, teaching the kids on a Saturday night for several hours. Friday night, we had a great, successful ladies' night, and we're thankful for all the hard work that went into that with our ladies doing that. And we had a lot of visitors, and what a success that is each year. So you think about this facility and how it is being used for the glory of God. Wednesday night Bible study, Friday night ladies' night, Saturday night Bible bow, a lot of good things going on with the church here. And so tonight we'll be worshiping up there. And if you're still in town, not a part of our Bible Bowl, we want to encourage you to go to Northside tonight. They're having their gospel meeting, and we'll be supporting them. And I think that's always an important thing, because we want to keep the bonds of unity, the bonds of brotherhood close with the brethren there. And Brother Mike Johnson will be preaching that meeting, and I know he'll do a great job. Using our gifts for the body of Christ. You can be thinking about the sheet that I gave you as I preached this morning. That's one time I'll give you permission to be doing that, thinking about a sheet. Because I want you to think about this as the conclusion of my sermon, but you can be considering it all throughout it. I want you to be thinking about, if the Lord were to give you an exam, He were to give you this sheet of paper, and He's going to call you to account for how you have used your gifts thus far in 2018, what would you tell the Lord? And so be thinking about that as we consider our subject, using our gifts for the body of Christ. In our study of 1 Corinthians, we have come to chapters 12, 13, and 14. And these chapters really form a unit. Chapter 12 is going to be about Paul introducing spiritual gifts and addressing the concept of the body and us as a church as the body of Christ, and about how we have many individuals And we all make up the body. And how we are each composed as the Lord has composed it with various gifts. And then chapter 13, kind of that meat of the sandwich, if you will. I like to think about chapter 12 as the slice of bread. Chapter 14 is the slice of bread. And chapter 13 is that meat in the middle. And it is trying to really make the sandwich good. You know, we all like the meat more than we do the bread, let's be honest. But the meat of the sandwich is love. And it's trying to pull and bind chapters 12 and 14 together. Because chapter 14 is going to deal, once again, with spiritual gifts. And specifically the divisions they're having over spiritual gifts in their worship. And the purpose of spiritual gifts were to edify or build up the church. And Paul is saying in chapter 13 that really, guys, you need to realize the most important thing we have in the church so that we can use all of our talents, all of our gifts, so that we can be the body that Christ wants us to be is love. And if we don't have love, we're not going to be able to use all of our talents and all of our spiritual gifts to their fullest potential. And so for the next several weeks, we'll skip May 6th because of our Teaching Rocket seminar, but this week, next week, and then appropriately so, on Mother's Day, we're going to study chapter 13. So we'll look at 12 this week, 14 next week, skip May 6th because of Teaching Rocket, and then on May 13th, we'll study love. And so in these chapters, we're dealing with the concept of spiritual gifts. Now, in their age, they were miraculous in nature as well as non-miraculous. Now, of course, in our age, we do not have miraculous spiritual gifts of the same nature that they did, but we are blessed with many spiritual gifts. Gifts that God has given us to be used in a spiritual way and that involves spiritual components. And let's begin by thinking, our lesson will be a little shorter this morning with our Bible Bowl commitments. So some of you are probably excited about that. I told someone that might have been the reason we had several visitors and others coming. They heard the lesson might be a little shorter. But anyways, look at verse 4. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are numerous listings of gifts. Now, we're not going to read through and focus on all these gifts. That's more for a Bible class study. But I want to give you 9 categories of gifts that I think we have today. Once again, these are categories taken from their gifts that we still have today. We have the gift of leadership. Some people are blessed with the ability to lead. We have the gift of evangelism. Some people are able to be very evangelistic in their work and in their ministry and are blessed with that ability more. We have the gift of administration, or what I would call organization, that can administer, and it's a little different than leadership. They can organize and serve in a way to get things done. We have the gift of giving, which we see was described as a spiritual gift in the Bible. Romans will talk about that. Some people, we all should have a responsibility to be stewards. But some people have an inordinate ability in their life to be able to give. And I'm not talking about just money. It may be money, but also their giving attitude, their giving spirit with all that they live, with all the blessings they're given in life. Some people are blessed with the ability to teach. And they be teaching different categories or ages, different subjects. Some people have that gift, and all of these things are things that we have in some ways as raw talent, but we develop them and nurture them and we gain experience with them. And so you become more of a teacher as you develop this talent and this gift. Some have, the Bible calls it, the gift of encouragement, the gift of consolation, the gift of exhortation. That is the idea that we might describe this as the Barnabas gift category. Barnabas was someone who was always encouraging people in his personal life and in his public life. He was an encourager. Some people have that gift by their character, their personality, and they develop that gift. Other people have the gift, we could call it mercy or hospitality. That is, they are someone who is compassionate. And they are always thinking about others. They're easily able to weep with those who are weeping. These often go into professions like nurses or other types of professions that require a lot of sympathy and care for others and a lot of mercy. Hospitality goes right along with that. We see that as a New Testament expression of this gift. And then we have the New Testament term gifts of serving or gifts of activities. And this is a broad category of someone who's a worker and they're just has a servant heart. They're always willing to wash others' feet in that New Testament sense. They're always looking not to see what is being done for me, but what they can do for others. And then there's the gift of shepherding or leadership. The Bible talks in Ephesians 4:11 and other places that God has given the church leaders, apostles, pastors or elders, deacons, teachers. God has blessed the church with leaders and with those who have the ability to shepherd. Now this is a little bit different from the gift of leadership because in some ways the gift of leadership can be exercised by a man or a woman, not in a public way in a woman leading public worship, but in a way that they're leading people, leading others in organizing events and in a way of others looking to them for leadership. But the gift of shepherding, I specifically think of as those who serve in the churches as an elder, but also others who serve in a capacity where they are guiding and mentoring and leading others and caring about the souls of others and watching over the souls of others. And so we think about these nine categories. And you see how they really can be broken down into a lot of details, but in a general way, most all the ministry of the church falls underneath one of these nine things. Then we think about spiritual gifts and using our gifts. We have different gifts. Paul has said this in verses 4 through 11. Now when there are a varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are varieties of service, but the same Lord. There are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them. Notice that you have the Godhead referenced here. It is the Spirit, the Lord, and the Father, or God, who empowers them. Your gifts are given to you by God and are empowered to you by God. And so, if you refuse to use your gift, then you're choosing to neglect a gift that God has given you. And so God has empowered us and bestowed upon us all these many gifts that we have the responsibility of using. And God has chosen the gift that you have received for your service. Look at chapter 12, verse number 18. The Bible says in this occasion, but as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as He chose. As He chose. Now, in this context, God had given the church at Corinth all these many gifts. But they being like humans, like us, they had become jealous and were fighting over what gifts each had been given. And rather than being content and seeking to use the gift they had, they were wanting the gift someone else had. It's like little toddlers playing with toys. Rather than playing with their toy, they wished they had someone else's toy. And they were jealous of one another. And so Paul says, I want you to know, you're not all supposed to have the same gift. In fact, the body is composed of with many different members, all contributing their individual talents and abilities to make the body as it is. And God has chosen the gifts you have received. And thus, we need one another. And so he illustrates this in verses 21 through 26 by saying, "The eye cannot say to the hand, 'I have no need of you,' nor again the head to the feet, 'I have no need of you.'" In other words, and this is a very simplistic illustration, the hand cannot be cut off and say, in Paul's analogy, the hand can't say to itself, "I'm going to be my own hand and I'm going to live." If your hand is cut off, your hand is dead. Your hand serves no more use to you if it is removed. And the hand cannot live and grow another body. It's not like the hand says, "I'm tired of being a part of Josh's body. I'm going to leave Josh's body and I'm going to go be just a hand by myself and I'm going to just live as a hand." Well, no. The hand needs me and I need the hand. Now, that's a very simplistic illustration, but that's exactly what Paul's saying. Is that in the church, you may be a hand, you may be a foot, but you can't say, "I'm going to go be my own foot, I'm going to go be my own hand and leave the body." No, you are connected to the body. The body needs you and you need the body. And it is really arrogant and it is selfish and it is sinful to say that you don't need the body and also to say that the body does not need you. See, we need each other. We need each other. Paul says, therefore, in verse number 26, "If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together." Back in verse 25, he says that there may be no division in the body. We're supposed to need one another. We must understand that if the church is going to be all that it can be, then every individual must be all they can be. If the church as a body is going to be all that it can be for the Lord, then every individual must be all that it can be for the Lord. You see, we need one another. And the gifts that we have are for the body. Now, I want you to hear me on this. And this is the main emphasis I want to give, and then that leads to our questionnaire. You are blessed, and we talk about this and understand this, but I really want to take this nuance with it. You are blessed with talents and abilities. You are blessed with gifts, whether we call them spiritual gifts, talents, abilities, you know, however, experiences. You have a unique set of talent that only you can offer. And you may say, "Yeah, but someone else does the same thing." But what I'm saying is, if you can do that, and if you're not doing it, then you're failing to offer that to the Lord. You have talents and abilities. But here's the point I want you to get from what Paul's saying in chapter 12. He's saying that you have a responsibility for using them for the body. Did you hear me on that? You have a responsibility of using them for the body. Look at verse number 7. He says we're supposed to use these gifts for the common good. In chapter 12, verse 25, we are to use our gifts to promote unity, that there may be no divisions in the body. We're not supposed to be using our gifts to say, "Look at me, I'm better than you," or "Everybody needs to pay attention to me. I've got this gift. I need to be able to use it, and everybody should recognize it." No, we're to use our gifts for the unity, for the building up of the body. And we're to use our gifts, chapter 14, verse number 3, for the encouragement and edifying of the church. He says, for example, in verse 3, "The one who prophesies speaks to people for their upbuilding and encouragement and their consolation." Look at verse 5. He says, "I want you to know that all speak in tongues, but even more to prophesy. The one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues unless someone interprets, so that the church may be built up." And then look at verse 12. "So with yourselves, since you are eager for manifestation of the Spirit." Now listen, he says you want to have these gifts of the Spirit. "Strive to excel in building up the church." It is good to use all the gifts and talents the Lord has given you for your family. It's good to use the gifts and talents the Lord has given you to earn a living, and you should provide for your family. It's good to use the gifts and talents that God has given you to serve your country. It's good to use your gifts and talents God has given you to serve your community. There's all kinds of ways that we can use and should use the abilities that God has given us. And we should use them even in a sense of Christian duty, that we serve in the community and use our talents and gifts when we're out in the community. But brethren, let me be real clear on this, because this really is the point that I was convicted in when I restudied this passage. Is that what Paul is saying is that it's not enough for us to just use our gifts and talents as a Christian in the world. What he's saying is that you got to understand that God gave you these gifts and talents for you to use them for the church, for the body of Christ, for the building up of the church. That's how you've got to make sure you also use your gifts. It's not just for personal use for your family or for feeling good about your community service or any kind of thing like that. But you've got to make sure that you're also using your gifts for the church, for the local body of Christ that you're a part of. And so I think this is a very significant point. It's for the common good. It's to promote unity. And it's to build up for the glory of the church. Now, there are two dangers in these gifts. The first danger is that there is gift envy. We have to fight being jealous of one another and not allowing that to cause problems. We don't want to stifle people from doing their gifts. We want to encourage people for using their gifts. But we also need to realize that I don't need to be jealous of them. And the best way I can avoid being jealous of others when they have gifts that I wish I had is to intentionally rejoice in their gifts. If I wish I could do that, instead of being jealous, saying, "Man, you did a great job. Thank you for using your gifts for the Lord." And the second danger is gift projection. What I mean by that is this: thinking that if I have a gift and I'm using my gift in this way, that everybody else should have the same gift and should use their gift in the same way. Paul says in this same context that we're all different and we all have different gifts. And I should not project my gift on you. And I should not expect you to use your gift the same way I use my gift. I need to allow you to use your gift as you can and will for the glory of God. And so we need to avoid the two dangers of gift envy, being jealous of one another, but also of gift projection. So we have different gifts. Gifts are for the body. They're not just for using them in the world or using them for our family. They are for the church and building up of the local church. And there are dangers that we need to avoid so that we can be united. And so there's a Danish proverb that says, "What you are is God's gift to you. What you do with yourself is your gift to God." Now, if the Lord were to pass out that sheet to you, and He were to ask you, "I believe I have the following gifts," you may need to really think about that for a little while, but I think some come to you pretty obviously. And you can make these more practical. You can make them more practical than those categories. In other words, you don't necessarily have to say, "I believe I have the gift of evangelism." You might say, "I have the gift that I can go on a mission trip," or "I can do this or that." You can make it practical. And you can list, some of you can list off maybe 30, 40, 50 gifts or more. I just asked for 5. And then here are 5 ways I've used my gifts in 2018 for the body of Christ. Let me ask you something. I'm giving you a timeline from January to now. It's only 4 months. How have you used your gifts in 2018 for the Lord? You may say, well, Josh, I've been homebound most of this time. The gift you might have had was the gift of exhortation through prayer. You might have really prayed hard for this church. How have you used your gifts? If you're not a member of our church, then let me encourage you to think about becoming a member and thinking about how you could use your talents. But if you are a member of this church, and if you can't list at least five, then you need to seriously examine your life. If you would, please take some time and really think about that. And look at it as if the Lord is giving you that list. If you need to respond to the Lord's invitation, if you want to put Christ on in baptism, then please come as together we stand and as we sing.